Andrew's plane landed at EZE, as promised, at 7 a.m. local time. Outside the window, the sun was a hideous orb, bleeding orange light through wavering heat. Andrew was still woozy from his two Valiums and two glasses of wine, the bare minimum that he needed to fly these days, to anywhere, for anything, though especially for here, for this. The irony of being a professor of international relations who was terrified of international travel was not lost on him. No irony was lost on him, ever. But it could not be helped. Neither could it be mitigated by the knowledge, always understood, but now finally believed, that the things that go wrong are rarely the things you've thought to worry about. Andrew patted Anna on the shoulder, and she roused herself. He watched her forget and then remember what was happening. He was glad he didn't have to remind her. She pulled her iPod headphones out of her ears, and Andrew caught snatches of some ambient, low-key music. The music of the day was so bloodless, he often thought. Didn't these kids want anything? And weren't they mad at anybody? Before she thumbed it quiet. Anna had endured the trip reasonably well. Her sensible hair was limp in a ponytail. Her nautical stripes, so favored by his students these days, were barely creased. She wore her competence lightly. She didn't know how terrifying it was to him. "Dad," she said, "you need to blink." Andrew blinked, painfully. "Does your corneal abrasion hurt?" she said. "No," he said. It always hurt. He had poked himself in the eye during class one day, while making a particularly vigorous point about Russian cyber terrorism in Estonia, and he'd had to go to the ER for a local eyeball anesthetic. Now his eye hurt every morning, every flight, every time he was tired or stressed, which he always would be now, for the foreseeable future. "Will we see Lily today?" said Anna. Andrew licked his lips. His eyeballs were so dry that he thought they might tear. The Argentina flights from the East Coast went only once a day, and only from D.C., and it was impossible to get to D.C. in less than 7 hours, no matter how you looked at it. Andrew could not, he reminded himself, have gotten here any earlier. "Probably not today," he said.
"Will Mom see her when she comes?"
"Hopefully." Andrew's voice cracked, and Anna looked at him, alarmed. "Hopefully," he said again, to show her that the crack had been fatigue, not emotion. Outside, it was summer, as Andrew had known, but secretly not entirely believed, that it would be. Anna shimmied out of her jacket, her nose crinkling at the smell of gasoline. Inside the airport, the terminal thrummed with travelers. Andrew offered to buy Anna a soda, then rescinded this offer when he spotted the newspaper outside the kiosk. He didn't have much Spanish beyond what one absorbed through cultural osmosis and a general familiarity with Latinate words, but it was uncomfortably easy to get the gist of the headlines, whether he wanted to or not. Andrew wished desperately to keep Anna away from the newspapers. She knew the contours of the accusation, of course, but Andrew had managed, or thought he had managed, to protect her from the worst of it. The coverage was only just beginning to leak over to the United States anyway, and Andrew had spent long hours on the internet looking for the stories. The depictions of Lily as hypersexual, unstable, amoral. The lurid intimations about her romantic jealousy and rage. The accounts of her smug and towering atheism. The fact that she hadn't cried. Not after Katie was killed, and not during the interrogations either.